Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided, and we're going to be continuing our study today, going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 2, and we'll be starting verse number 3, which says, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile." So here we have the Apostle Paul as he's talking with this local assembly in Thessalonica, starts talking about the exhortation that he was making for the saints who are part of this assembly. Now, when we look at that word, exhortation, the definition of that word is to encourage, to embolden, to cheer, to advise. The primary sense seems to be to excite or to give strength, spirit, or courage. Now, that definition comes from the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And we see the issue of that exhortation is really the idea of the Apostle Paul attempting to encourage this local assembly to continue to do the things that they've been doing. Now, when we look at this idea of exhortation, we really get the understanding of the fact that this is something that is the responsibility of the local assembly. We see Paul actually uses that word several times. We'll be looking at some of those passages, but we're going to see a statement that's made written by Luke. If we go over to the book of Acts in chapter number 14 for a moment, where we'll see Luke is actually going to be speaking about some things related to the responsibility of the local assembly here. And here in Luke chapter number 14, we're going to start here at verse number 21. It says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." Now, as we see here in this passage, Luke is talking about the ministry of the Apostle Paul as he's going out and doing some things during the early part of this ministry. You see him going out, he's preaching the gospel message, and he lists a number of cities that this goes on in. And then, which is really the idea of the evangelism that's supposed to be going on. And then after that evangelism, we see that Luke records some of the other things that they were actually doing here. We see the idea of the confirming the souls of the disciples. The idea that you see as you look at what that means, that's the edification, the building up of the individuals, giving them the doctrine that they need to be able to function. You see the exhortation, it says exhorting them to continue in the faith. So there's the idea of the encouragement that comes about. And then he follows it up with the idea of the eldership, the building up of that next generation of individuals who's going to be able to go out and continue to teach this message. Now, those four things that you see here in this passage in the book of Acts, that's really the responsibility that the local assembly has to continue to do all of those things. And what we see in the passage that we started with over in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 is where the Apostle Paul's talking about this idea of the exhortation, the encouragement that is needed for these members of the body of Christ. And when we really think about some of the things related to our life as a member of the body of Christ, we understand the fact of needing that encouragement because there are a lot of things that oppose who we are as the members of the body of Christ, whether it's, you know, things of, you know, what's truly supposed to be outside of who we are, whether it's individuals who try to identify as saying that they're members of the body of Christ and doing things that are contrary to the doctrine that's been given to us. All of these different things really go against that ministry that's been committed to us, and there needs to be an encouragement for individuals to continue in the faith, just as the Apostle Paul seems to over and over again in his epistles. You see this idea of the exhortation that's being spoken of. In fact, we can go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, where we're going to see again he'll use that term again as he's closing out this epistle to talk about the things that he's going to be exhorting and encouraging them to do. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, I'm going to start here at verse number 14. It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil." Now, you see the Apostle Paul list out a number of things that he's speaking about to this local assembly in Thessalonica. You see that all of these things are what he's encouraging them to do. Now, again, this will always show that difference between the performance-based system where Israel functioned, where they were told that they had to do certain things, and if they didn't do them, they would be in danger of losing their salvation. And what's said about us, the members of the body of Christ, who have our salvation because of the fact that we put our trust in the gospel, and the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and our belief in that alone, which gives us our salvation, which means that instead of it being our works that's defining it, it's our identity in Christ that is going to keep us in our salvation. So it has nothing to do with us. So instead of it being a thing of where we have to do certain things to maintain our salvation, there's the idea of the encouragement to continue to do the things that God would have us to do in our Christian life. We see the Apostle Paul, as he talks about this idea of the exhortation that has to be done, we see him do this. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, because we're going to see this in a different area of our life, that he has to encourage and exhort them to do certain things. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. We'll start here, verse number 1. It says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain, in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me, and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you, and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready, as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness." Now, as you see the Apostle Paul, and you read through the epistle in 2 Corinthians, you see how chapters 8 and 9 are really a discussion related to the idea of giving. And you see in the middle of this discussion how the Apostle Paul is exhorting, encouraging them to do the things that are necessary related to the giving that he's been instructing them. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And we'll see again the Apostle Paul is going to be using this word exhort to talk about, you know, what it is that they're supposed to do. And here we're going to read the first verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." So here we have Paul, not only is he begging them to do something, he's encouraging them that as they have received the Lord Jesus Christ, that's how they're to be walking. So they've received the Lord Jesus Christ by grace through faith, having nothing to do with their works. And if that's how they've received the Lord Jesus Christ, that's how they should be continuing to walk in the doctrine of the grace of God. You know, that's why you see him having to encourage them to be doing this. We see, let's go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Because again, we'll see an exhortation that the Apostle Paul is going to be giving here. And we're going to read here in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, verses 11 and 12. It says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." So here we have the Apostle Paul talking about how he's exhorting them to actually be working. What he gives the instructions in Ephesians chapter number 5 about how you'll let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, that the person is supposed to be working so that way they would be able to give to others that are in need. Here we have them exhorting that they're going to be actually working so that way they could take care of themselves. We see here, let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2, to where we'll see Paul's going to actually talk here about, you know, the exhortation in another area of the life of a believer. And we're going to read the first two verses of chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, and it says, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." So here we have Paul encouraging the believer to pray for all men. Now, when we look at the idea of the prayer for all men, we know that our prayer for the unsaved would be that they would actually receive salvation, that they would put their trust in the gospel message that's been committed to us today. We know from the examples that the Apostle Paul gives us of that the prayer for the believers is that they would grow in the knowledge of the truth, so that way they could walk worthy of what a believer is supposed to be doing. But we see the Apostle Paul also talk here about kings and all that are in authority, you know, so that praying that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. So our prayer should also be for all those that are in authority, you know, not just for the leaders that we may agree with, you know, no matter what our political stance is. We are to be praying for all leaders, so that way we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And again, we'll see here another passage where we're going to see the Apostle Paul is going to be using this, the idea of the exhortation that should be there for the believers. And here in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, again, we will read the first two verses of the chapter. It says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, Let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So again, we see Paul having to give this idea of an exhortation that has to be given related to the relationship between the, you know, the worker and the boss, and gives the instructions on how this is supposed to occur. We see here, let's go over to chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, to where we're going to see Paul as he gives the answer to what you see in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy about the problems that are going to be coming for the body of Christ as a whole, that you're going to see Paul's going to actually give the answer in the beginning part of chapter 4 and how it is that the body of Christ can prevent these things from happening. And we'll start here at verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, we didn't read the passage, but if we had gone back into Romans chapter number 12, we would have seen how at one point in time the idea of exhortation was a gift that some individuals had. And we know that the gifts have ceased as a result of us having a completed word of God. So here we have the Apostle Paul talking about how the issue of exhortation is actually going to happen. And as he's giving this answer, you know, he starts with the idea of preaching the word. And as he continues on, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So the issue of the exhortation that's going to be occurring, that the Apostle Paul says should be what it is that we're doing, is going to be accompanied by long suffering and doctrine. Now, we understand the idea of the doctrine because it's only the word of God that can actually work in an individual. It's the word of God which is going to produce change. It's the word of God which produces faith in an individual. It always comes back to what it is in the word of God, and that's why the doctrine has to be the focus. And when we talk about doctrine, it's always the idea of understanding the word of God rightly divided, understanding the doctrine that had been committed to the Apostle Paul and has been given to us for us to stand in and for us to be preaching to others. But we also see the Apostle Paul talking about how that exhortation has to come about with long suffering. That there's the idea that there's going to be suffering that the members of the body of Christ are going to have to deal with, and we're going to have to be enduring all of those things. And we know that Paul says that it's been given to us to suffer. You know, you read it through in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and it starts talking about how all that are live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That there's a time coming when the individuals who are members of the body of Christ are going to face persecution as a result of our stand for the word of God. Paul talks about how the idea of long suffering is part of the fruit of the Spirit. We know that we're going to be enduring some things, and that exhortation, that encouragement, is the issue of that we know that even though we're dealing with all of these things, everything's going to work out according to the will of God. We know that, you know, if we turn things over to God, we're going to receive that peace that comes if we offer things up in prayer with thanksgiving. We know all of those things. We know that it's for a short time that these problems are going to be faced, because, you know, even though we might be facing them here on the earth, we know that we're going to be living with him for all eternity. So it is a but for a moment, as the Apostle Paul talks about our light affliction that we're going to be facing. That's why there is a encouragement with long suffering, because we're going to have to be encouraging people as not only they're going through things, but we have to be encouraging people as we're going through things as well. Let's go over to Titus chapter number 2, to where we're going to see the Apostle Paul again is going to be talking here about the idea of the exhortation that's supposed to be coming through. And here in Titus chapter number 2, we're going to read here. We'll start right at verse 1, because we're going to see Paul's going to be talking about some things that, you know, should be happening in the assembly here. And it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they may be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Now, as Paul lays these things out, and he's talking about the how all of the individuals in the assembly should be functioning, he's talking about the aged men, he talks about the aged women, he talks about the young women, and he talks about the young men, and he says that the young men need to be exhorted and encouraged to be sober-minded, to have this, you know, thought process to where, you know, when you look at youth, that young men have a tendency to react very quickly to things and not think things through, to not think them through with a clear-headed thought process, which is what the Apostle Paul is saying needs to be encouraged for them to do. And we see that these things, all of this encouragement, this exhortation that the Apostle Paul gives, it all keeps coming back to the idea of encouraging the members of the body of Christ to be living according to the pattern that the doctrine has laid out. And our life is always supposed to be functioning according to the doctrine given. And that's why we see the pattern of how it is that Paul will write an epistle and he'll lay out some doctrine. And after he lays out the doctrine, he then shifts into the idea of, okay, now that you understand this, this is how your life should be functioning as a result of understanding this doctrine. You see, his prayers talk about how a person would come on, have this understanding of what the Word of God says, and that it would cause them to walk worthy as a result of having this understanding. You see how Paul talks about the transformation that's supposed to be happening, is that renewing of the mind would occur when the person's taking the doctrine in. And as they take the doctrine in, it then results in some changes that are going to occur in the life of the individual. You know, those are the things that the Apostle Paul is going to be exhorting, encouraging the members of the body of Christ to be doing. And as we study out the doctrine, we should be encouraged to be doing those exact same things. Now, as Paul starts to talk about this exhortation, you see that he says the exhortation is not of deceit, not of uncleanness, nor in guile, that there's some ways that encouragement can be done that would not line up with what the scriptures would actually talk about. And what we'll do in our next episodes, we'll start actually looking at what it is that individuals would be doing as part of that exhortation or that encouragement, to where if they were doing it in the manner that Paul says that they were not doing, what the result of that would be in the life of a believer. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have links to audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live, either on Facebook Live or on YouTube Live as they're actually happening. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. So, you know, if you have the opportunity, you can do that as well. And as always, we'd like to encourage everyone, if you ever have any questions or comments about anything on our website, anything you hear in our messages, anything you hear in one of these broadcasts, feel free to contact us. You know, our contact information is on our website as well. We would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.